welcome to Same Old Hope, a Star Wars podcast where we count down to episode 9 by celebrating one theatrical release each month. Today, we are 6 months out from the release of episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker, and this month we are celebrating Rogue One, a Star Wars story. I am Jared, and I don't have a clever nickname today, but with me today are...
Tim.
Cat2SO.
Whoa, nice.
Oh, you just thought I was going to do K2SMO.
Well, you can still be that.
K2ASMO?
Asmo. Yes.
Asmo.
Hi, it's me.
I'm K2ASMO.
This should be easy to keep straight.
Yeah. Three ASMOs. And Jared, Tim, and three ASMOs. So we're recording this on June 20th, which is exactly 6 months out from the release of episode 9, which we're, we'll see it on the 19th, probably.
Yeah, that Thursday, yeah.
But still cool. The year's going by really quick.
We were busy still cool yesterday, though, right? Give us a break.
I know. It couldn't work yesterday.
You think seeing it the day before it like theatrically debuts is less cool than going on like it's
No, first. I'm saying it's still cool that we're exactly 6 months out. Even
if it makes you feel any better, I'm gonna probably see it on the 20th as well.
Yeah, I like a buffer day for my rewatch. But that's a boring discussion to listen to. So let's talk about this movie. I love this movie.
Yeah, I remember being disappointed by it when I saw it in theaters because the trailer made it look like it was going to be the best Star Wars movie that ever existed, and then almost none of what was in the trailer was in the movie. So I was like, "What the fuck is this?" And
yeah, that hurt.
Then we saw it again less than 12 hours later, and I was like, "Man, I don't like this movie." But I hadn't seen it since then, and rewatching it now, I was like, oh, it's good.
Yeah, I actually like this movie more every time I see it. It was a weird production.
Yeah,
they hired Gareth Edwards, guys at Godzilla, to make like a war movie. And they got like, I think, a pretty dark war movie. And they were like, we can't release this. So it was Tony Gilroy who did some rewrites and reshoots. And they like... Gareth Edwards kind of went along with it, and they reshaped the movie completely.
It's said that he
kind
of...
Interesting, I didn't realize it was that reshaped.
Yeah, it's rumored that he directed actually the majority of it, but since Gareth Edwards like played ball and like did everything with it, he like got the credit.
Right, he was cool with it still, but they...
it's fucked up because like, Godzilla's barely in it.
Yeah, I know, not even.
He is actually in it.
Yeah.
He's on the wall in...
Saw Gerrera's place?
Yeah, he's like kind of like R2 like and 3PO painting.
That's cool.
Indiana Jones.
There was that episode of the Clone Wars, the Zilla Beast. That's basically like a Godzilla thing. It's pretty
cool.
You got that one shot of the AT-AT when it like coming from the fog.
Yeah, the heat like looking gigantic.
Yeah, it's like the one monster shot.
In the Clone Wars show, the Zilla Beast, they like realize that its shell is impervious to like lightsabers.
Oh, cool.
So the Emperor like keeps it after it dies, and it's implied that its like skin is used to make the part of the Death Star where like it can contain like the laser bolt that the Death Star shoots.
Oh, cool.
Which is pretty cool. That's over explaining the Death Star.
Yeah.
Well, that's what this movie is for.
Yeah,
so.
That's what this whole movie is. Yeah.
I think it does make A New Hope better. Having there be more consequences.
I agree.
And it does, for some reason, it doesn't feel as cringy as the stuff in Solo that's like,
explain
this.
I feel like the difference is for Solo, they definitely like, all right, well, let's pick like one of our biggest, like most famous popular characters, and let's just give him a backstory.
That he didn't need, though.
Yeah, a lot of Christmas, but they didn't need
Because no one, I think it's fair to be like, wait a minute, they blew up that giant space station because there was like one hole, like thermal exhaust port or whatever. But I don't think anyone saw New Hope and was like, why is his last name Solo?
Yeah. Right.
But I think what did it for this one is that they took that tiny little piece of information from the original movie, and then they created... Yeah, they have a lot of like secondary background characters that we're familiar with, but then they created these all new characters that work incredibly well together, I think, and put them into the story that explains that tiny little detail, but gives you a whole new...
The characters are interesting,
refresh to it.
And I like them more now, but that was my main complaint when I first saw it, was I didn't feel that attached to a lot of the characters. Like, Jin, I didn't feel that...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I felt like I would have liked a little bit more.
That's really interesting. I actually found this to be one of the more emotionally affecting.
I feel that more now
recently
than I did originally.
Like Kat and I were talking about this, and we'll definitely get into it more, I think, when we get to Force Awakens. But I felt more like the emotional beats in this hit me harder than Kylo killing Han. Like her talking, her seeing her dad's message.
That seems great.
Totally believe their like father daughter relationship and how like it, how much it's hurt her to not be able to grow up with her dad and how much it's hurt him to have to be separate from her. Their scene where he dies, and you know she watches him die. That's really moving too. And then the two parts at the end just make me like. I literally cried at the part where they just got out the information to one of the ships.
Oh, yeah.
And then I think it's General Raddus.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sees Raddus, the Death Star.
He's the Winston Churchill.
Hit the planet, and he basically knows they're going to die.
Yeah.
And he's like, Rogue One, may the Force be with you. But there's just like something about that scene that really gets
the
me.
The music's really good there, and... like Cassian being like, your father would be proud and stuff.
Yeah.
I think for the small amount of time that we spent with the characters, you get a sense of who they are and what they're about pretty immediately, which I think speaks to the writing. Like, it's really easy to get a sense of their personalities, their values, where they feel like they fit in with the rebellion in the grand scheme of things, and how, you know, like Cassian is a little gray and things like that. That are really small nuances and details, but they're there, and it's easy for you to be like, okay, this is what this character is like. This, and none of them feel like a stereotype or like
a stock character.
Yeah, stock character. Like, they all have very distinct personalities.
Yeah,
and roles that you're like, all right, I can connect with this crew.
And I think each one of the characters, they all kind of expand on the lore of it too. Like, where you get Baze and Chirrut with like the Guardians of the Will. Right. So it is like something we are very familiar with, but they add these other elements into it with these very intriguing, compelling characters that makes you want to know more, and that you enjoy like this one self-contained story with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely like the characters a lot. I think initially, because it's more of an ensemble movie, like, I was left wanting more from all of them.
TV show, so.
Yeah, we're getting more from Cassian, which is great.
And that's kind of the biggest bummer about how the movie ends with all of them dying, just because I think all the characters are so cool in their own way.
Yeah.
And it has such a great, like, Dirty Dozen, 13th Warrior type vibe.
Seven Samurai or something.
Yeah, like, everybody's, like, got a different thing.
Yeah.
That they bring to the table, and it's really cool. I love it. You raised the point of Cassian being gray. Like, this one, it's cool that it's obviously there's moral ambiguity in war always, and this is like the first time you really see that. Yeah.
It shows
dude right at the beginning.
Yeah, it shows the dark side of the rebellion.
Is that guy's name that he kills, Tivik?
Yeah, in the very beginning. Yeah,
and you see that look in his face, like he's horrified with himself, and I don't know. It's cool to like realize, like, yeah, the rebels did not win a war by like not killing anyone.
They did some bad stuff.
Right.
Yeah. And we saw a little bit of it in Last Jedi, but what I appreciate about Rogue One is that you get to actually see the war and the larger implications of what it's like and what the battlefield is like for the universe outside of just the Skywalker bubble.
Right.
Which is really cool.
Yeah, they do some awesome, on the end with Scarif, some of those battles are amazing.
All about planet.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's super cool. Why don't we kind of casually move through the plot this time? Because I think we will come across a lot to talk about. I have a lot to say about this movie. But I think looking at it, like, I feel like this movie is pretty easily split up into which planets we're seeing. And it's a good way to split it all up.
So, where does it start?
So at the beginning of this movie, we get the long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. And then no crawl for the first time. Do you guys remember being in theater for that?
Yeah.
It's like a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. And it's like,
just cuts.
There's like one sound and it's just like space.
It is. It's like a big just like boom.
And we see Director Krennic's cool like retro looking Imperial shuttle.
Yeah.
Going to the planet Lamu.
Not Saturn.
No, not Saturn, but looks like Saturn has rings, which is cool to see in Star Wars.
Do they say the name rings. Of that planet?
They don't say it in the movie.
I love the Black Sands. Iceland, right?
Yeah, they filmed it in Iceland. That droid at the beginning who's like on the lookout, you're an Iceland boy.
No, just gloss over it.
No. You're an icy boy. Go for it. Enough out of you. I remember being in the theater and seeing that first droid who's like keeping lookout for them and just being like, it's really awesome practical effect and being so pumped.
Yeah.
I love the whole opening scene of this movie.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, it's great. It's really cool. On the farm and everything. It just looks cool.
Yeah.
The movie in general looks incredible. It does. I think it does such a good job of capturing the feel of the original movies and still being feeling like a modern movie. And the Death Troopers are so fucking cool.
Love Death Troopers.
Yeah. It's weird because I feel like you guys don't care that I went to Iceland.
No, it's super cool. Did you go to this location where they shot this farm?
I did, yeah. I went to the Black Sands Beach.
Oh, is that just one beach?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought all of Iceland was just black sand. Yeah. And the waterfall from Prometheus.
Yeah. Been there too.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I have, yeah. It's called...
Is that in Iceland too?
It is, yeah. Hmm. It's in Dettifoss. If you go there, it feels like a completely different planet. It's so... So
that's why they film a lot of movies.
It took like forever to get like from the road that you turn on to get to the waterfall. It's probably like a 10-minute drive if it was smooth roads. Maybe not even. But the roads are so bumpy, like catastrophically bumpy, that you have to drive so slow. We drove like 4 miles an hour, and it was like, like every time.
Oh,
yeah, wow.
It sucked. But it was worth it in the end. And the Black Sands Beach is really cool because all the like the sand, like pebbles, are so smooth.
Hmm.
But enough about that.
I could be wrong too.
Would it have been smoother if you weren't running over all those people?
Yeah, well, should have been standing
there. Look at it all the way. I think they filmed part of
Tourists are ruining
Hoth
Iceland.
Is filmed there too.
Yeah,
in Iceland. Yeah. I thought Hoth was all like Norway or something. Or
I think a couple shots are in Iceland.
Like when I was in Iceland,
I could be wrong.
These tourists were like standing around. I was like, "Who the fuck are these people? They don't live here. Get out of here,
assholes!"
So worse.
Sick of it. All right, I think I made my quote. I'll see you guys later.
Do you guys go to
see at the end of the episode
shooting locations for movies when you travel? Is that something you guys have ever done?
No, but that would be cool to do. I just never think about it.
I did it one time in Philadelphia. I went to like
the Rocky
the Liberty
Steps.
Bell.
Oh, from National
because
Treasure?
Of National Treasure.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah, we went to the Rocky Steps.
That wasn't my choice.
Oh, I've been to the Rocky Steps.
Yeah.
My buddy Raffy was obsessed with the National Treasure movies. Is obsessed.
They're kind of guilty pleasures, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, they're pretty good.
Yeah, they're fine.
I feel like I have been to a bunch of like...
Yeah, we've been to stuff from That Thing You Do.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
oh, that's
really cool. Yeah,
you did the Dark Knight tour, right?
I didn't do a tour. I just Googled locations. We were in Chicago, went to a bunch of locations from the Dark Knight.
I went to the house from Hocus Pocus. Skelly
Michael, which was
it's not
from
traveling,
like
though.
Episode 7 and 8.
Oh yeah, right.
Yeah, you did that.
That's
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I've been to the Hocus Pocus house also. Yeah.
Oh, some train spotting places in Edinburgh too, which is cool.
That's cool.
But yeah, when I travel, it's like
I've done a bunch. Like when I lived in New York. I saw like a bunch of, I mean, there's so many landmarks that are in movies there.
Did
anyway,
you do the
so.
Sex in the City tour?
Just twice.
Did you do the Sex in Her Shitty tour?
Did you do the Segs in the City Segway tour? That was a thing. That's a thing in Baltimore.
That's amazing.
We've yeah. seen so that good. Pamphlet before. And it
I love it.
So it is the smartest.
It's my favorite pamphlet. All right, we got off track.
Yeah, so
real quick.
This movie.
Yeah, so we get to see a really cool farm on this planet Lamu. We get the glass of blue milk or the picture of it that gets like its own like pan in
shot
for a long time. The little cool like toys that Jin has,
the
wooden stormtrooper.
The cool dolls, yeah.
Yeah, it's super cool. What else does she have? Are there other toys that are like?
I gotta tell you, I don't. I mean, there's like a few like things in the background, but part of me kind of wishes they put. Like Anakin Skywalker bedroom from episode 1 toys in the background, just like off to the side, like, hey.
You mean beach toys?
Yeah. Like, we know we fucked up.
She has to dig in that sand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No sand toys. I think it's the holiday special that Chewbacca's son,
they have
Lumpy,
yeah.
has a stuffed Bantha.
That's
that,
cool.
I like always loved it. So Melinda made me that when
see,
we
you get
first
right
started
there.
Dating. Yeah.
She
I'll post
that?
A picture of it. Yeah, she made
it's
that.
It's awesome.
Thanks.
It
yeah,
is very cool.
Take a picture of it and post it.
I like how you got the...
Tusken Raider on top.
Yeah, right on top
really
there.
Cute.
Riding in glory.
I love that whole first scene. But one of my beefs with it is whatever Jin's mom's name is.
Lyra.
Yeah. Being Leroy. Like, you'll never win, which take another pass at that line.
Right.
And then they don't, they use it. There's a callback to that later on, isn't there?
Oh, is there?
I think Jin says it. Jin might say it to Krennic at the
oh,
end.
Maybe.
He's like, who are you? And I think she says, you'll never win or something like that. Could be like misremembering, but I'm pretty sure there's a callback to it. And it's like, it would be not great on its own, but whatever. It's a throwaway line. But if you're going to use it for a callback, you should have punched that up. But
yeah, I didn't even notice the callback. I love director Krennic. Ben Mendelsohn is awesome.
He
in this movie.
Plays such a good villain.
He rules. And who plays Galen Erso? What's his
Mads,
name?
Mads Mikkelsen.
Oh, I love him.
He's awesome too. Yeah. His brother played Thrawn on Rebels.
Yeah. A voice yeah. Oh, really? Huh. Jack Nicholson.
He would be an awesome Thrawn if they did a movie.
Love it. Or yeah,
would
be. Too bad he was
be really cool.
Actually, you know what? That would be perfect for Mandalorian.
Ooh, that'd be really cool.
Ooh, shit. That'd be really
around.
Cool.
Anyway,
well, you think?
Keep derailing us.
No, it's yeah. Okay. But
there's
we get to see
a few crossovers.
So Jin, Director Krennic shows up, and there's all this implied history like that. They did a tie-in book called Catalyst that explained everything. Like they were kind of friends, and he like acted like they were working on something that was going to bring peace, but it was really for the Death Star.
There's like one tiny little flashback scene of them like
yeah, at a Coruscant
apartment and drinking yeah. And stuff. Yeah.
So they were like working on Coruscant together, and then Galen and Lyra and Jin like flee the Empire. So like Krennic finally finds them and takes them. The Death Trooper design is so fucking cool.
Yeah.
They're all like super tall and talk through that like distorted voice, like.
Aren't they all kind of Death Troopers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, not with their accuracy.
More so. Because yeah. They're, you know, they got the black armor, so you know they mean business.
They're it looks cool. Really cool against the black sand, too.
It does, yeah.
One of my few notes for this movie was that it has the best action figures. Like,
yeah.
I feel like just the trooper designs and vehicles and stuff are really cool in this movie. Death Troopers alone. And the, what are the ones called at the beach at the end?
Shore Troopers.
Yeah, Shore Troopers are super cool.
The action figure for
aren't you a little shore for a stormtrooper?
They're on the beach. Like heard that so much.
The action figure for Jin Erso says that she's a sergeant, and
oh,
yeah,
she was sergeant. Originally a sergeant in the first draft, and then they changed it. But they had already like made the packaging and released the toys, so they were like retroactively, they were just like, oh yeah, she was given that rank by so and so.
It's a college nickname.
Yeah,
Sarge.
Good old Sarge Erso. I do think that her character suffered the most from like the rewrites and the. Rework of the script.
Did you say her character suffered the most?
Suffered?
She was huge in this movie.
Dinner?
Are you fat shaming her?
I don't remember that. When she eats supper.
I thought you weren't coming back to the end of the episode.
I didn't say that. I said I wasn't coming back at all. Well, I implied it.
And he's back. So we see young Jin like run away when they kill her mother and steal her father or kidnap her father, steal her father.
When you steal my person, dad. It's called
Give
kidnapping.
It back.
Yeah, that's, I guess that's true.
Yeah, she hides in the cool little rock.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that cool little hidden like bomb shelter.
Which it's a great hideout, but not when your eyes are right up against the crack in it where it's like illuminating your
face. Yeah, it's like a whole like box that shows her entire face and she's just like sitting there. Yeah. She's like, you're gonna find me.
Death Troopers missed her though.
Yep.
And we see Saw Gerrera show up.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which is really cool.
You see
such an awesome
you
name.
See him in the beginning too. He's like on like the FaceTime
the screen.
Basically. Yeah.
They he was created by George Lucas. And he was in season 2 of the Clone Wars.
It's either 2 or 3. But
yeah,
maybe
it was later. It could have been like 4 or something.
The Onderon arc.
Yeah, Onderon. He's like 20 in that.
He's very young, yeah.
Yeah, but he was created by George Lucas, and it was really cool to see them like bring him back into the movies.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. He's a really cool character, and I think that integrating him and having that whole like radical rebels faction makes sense for...
Definitely.
For wartime.
You know that would be such a thing. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, the extremists.
Yeah. Right. Just want to blow shit up.
Yeah.
With, the partisans, right? That's what he calls
it. Yeah, that's his, like, temper crew. All, like, extremists, whatever. And then we go to, from there, oh, we get the title from there.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it just kind of flashes up Rogue One with, like, theme. The first time the music's not John Williams in a movie. Which,
yeah.
How do you guys feel about the music?
I like it. I feel like it doesn't feel out of place. Like it.
Yeah, I agree.
It's not the same, but it's
not the same.
Not bad.
It works, I think.
Yeah.
Definitely feels more modern.
It's Giacchino, is it?
Yeah, it's Michael Giacchino who did like The Incredibles. And
I'm a huge fan
does,
of his
like
work.
Everything now.
Yeah. I've been a fan of his work since Lost.
It was supposed to be. Is it Alessandro Duplat? It was like some French guy who did like...
Oh, I think originally, right?
I think he was the guy that took over for John Williams in the Harry Potter movies when he stopped doing them.
Oh.
And he was supposed to do it up until like a month before this movie came out.
Yeah,
Michael Giacchino came in with like 4 or 6 weeks or something crazy like that.
And put it together.
They were like, you sure you can do this? And he was like, yeah, I've been writing Star Wars music in my head since I was a kid. So, and just like did it really quick.
That's
cool.
Really cool.
Yeah, I think you definitely get the tone, right? And I think that... it's the same thing where, like with the new Mandalorian and the new trilogy, that fans who have been fans since they were kids and like imagining what their Star Wars movie would be like or their Star Wars music would be like it feels genuine and in the tone and fits in that universe because they're such legitimate fans that they know how to make it feel right.
Definitely.
What would your Star Wars music sound like? Ooh.
Oh, yeah. That's tough.
Okay. Fucking phonies.
Hey. I've released an album of Star Wars music.
Actually pretty good. Chinmo?
No.
Ooh.
No.
Coward.
Like, no.
Like, I'm solo shooting everything.
Feels like Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah.
Just introduce some pop music into the whole thing.
So after the title, we get, we go to Wobani, right?
Yeah, Wobani. After seeing...
Oh, wait, I don't think they tell us we're on Wobani yet. They just cut to Jin in like a prison cell.
No, yeah.
No, it has the little that's place after, card at the bottom. Because
you go to Jeddah first. No, sorry, not Jeddah. What am I thinking?
The Ring of Kaffreen?
Yes.
I think that's after we see Jin, and it cuts to, just to let us know, like, this is her as an adult, by the way. I think it goes right to her waking up in that jail cell next to the tentacle mouth.
Yeah, but she's not on, well, she might be on Wobani.
Yeah, we don't know.
She's
not on the transport
yet. Is Kaffreen the coffee planet?
Yeah, it is. So coffee is in Star Wars in the books. They call it calf.
Oh.
So you want a cup of calf? And they do drink calf, but not Kaffreen. It's Kaffreen free. The Ring of Kaffreen is that like...
asteroid.
Yeah, it's like an asteroid, or like space station kind of. So we see Cassian on the Ring of Kaffreen, like crowded city streets, and he meets up with Tivik, who is one of Saw's guys.
Yes, he is.
Saw's adult people. The partisans. He's one of the partisans. Who tells him that a Imperial pilot defected and has some information or whatever.
Yeah,
we don't know what yet, right?
He like kind of hints if it's from Galen Erso. That's the whole thing, because he knows it has something to do with a super weapon.
Okay. Cassian... straight up kills this dude.
Right in the back. Shoots him in the back.
Which is a really cool scene. You could see on his face, he's like horrified right away.
Yeah.
And then we cut to Wobani?
I believe so, yep. You got Jin in the transport.
I don't like the planet name Wobani.
I mean, it's very much, because you see like a statue of... because you see a tiny bit of Jeddah.
No, that's Jeddah.
Yeah, no, but you see a little bit of that, because it immediately cuts to Wobani.
Wobani Greek yogurt.
You see you see Bodhi like being transported, I guess.
Not on Wobani.
No, on Jeddah.
Yeah.
It shows the statue on Jeddah of like the...
Yeah, why are we talking about Jeddah? We're on Wobani.
But it cuts to it.
You right
see,
after.
Yeah, you see.
Oh, it cuts from Wobani to
that
Jeddah?
Yeah, to that overturned statue that looks like Obi-Wan.
Yeah, because it shows Obi-Wan and it directly cuts and it says Wobani.
Oh, we go to Jeddah after Kaffreen before Wobani?
You see a
little
bit.
Wait, is that when they introduce the pilot to...
We are not speaking English.
That's when
I just realized. We just said the sentence, we go to Jeddah before Wobani, and everyone deleted this podcast.
Yeah. But yeah, you get... because you see Bodhi when he's like, I need to see Saw Gerrera, and you see two tubes. And he's like, you him? He's like, no. And he keeps going, and then it... you see like the statue.
Okay, I didn't realize that scene was before.
I'm almost positive it is, because I just remember it a hard like
we
a hard
are
nitpicking cut.
This
we are it absolutely is. Yeah,
but I just remember a hard cut of like the statue of the Jedi that basically looks like Obi-Wan, and it cuts to a planet called the Wolf.
So Jeddah is kind of this like Jerusalem like holy land type planet, where it's kind of implied that maybe the Jedi originated from that, or like the word Jedi is from Jeddah.
Oh, I like that.
Isn't Jeddah a city in Saudi Arabia?
I don't know. Jeddah, is it?
I'm pretty sure it is. J-E-D-D-A-H.
Sounds...
oh, maybe.
Is
this
that
is
how it's spelled in...
I think it's J-E-D-H-A. In
it's a little different.
It's still the sound, though. I feel like it's one of the least creative...
They definitely want that, like, holy city vibe. And, like,
yeah.
It's a planet that has a lot of kyber crystals, which is what Jedi used to make their lightsabers, and what the Empire uses to make the Death Star.
It also makes them poop easier, doesn't it?
The kyber crystals?
Yeah.
They have a, if you keep your diet high in kyber, it always helps.
Really opens up your kyber pass.
Yeah, it does. They,
it might give you the kyber myalgia.
In the old original like canon books, the first Star Wars book ever, they wrote Splinter of the Mind's Eye, which was...
I've heard you talk about that.
Yeah, it was the year after Star Wars came out, and they wrote it to be like, hey, if this movie's not a hit, we'll just make this low-budget sequel without Harrison Ford. So it's Luke and Leia on a swamp planet the whole time looking for, at the time, what they just called the Kyber Crystal. There's only one, and it like gave you special force powers and stuff.
Mm. And Saw Gerrera looking down at everyone from his Kyber Tower.
Kyber Tower?
Lies! Deception!
That's wow. So good.
That is really good.
Hey,
I just gotta be raspy.
Yeah.
All right, but
it's more than rasp.
How do you guys feel about... like they do it with Wobani, they do it with Scarif. How do you feel about the names of the planets popping up on screen? It's first time
I think it works for a spinoff.
Yeah.
I agree. It's cool.
Yeah, that's one thing I like about this and Solo is they kind of establish their own like style for that kind of stuff. Which
I think that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Is now a good time to introduce a segment?
I gotta tell you, I think any time is. We've been going crazy off the rails.
Yeah. All right. So
I feel like I have to because I haven't seen this movie since theaters, and then when we watched it last week or whatever, there was a lot of talking going on, so it's like I have little information. I don't remember too much about it. I know I love this movie because of the way it looks and the acting and the story and everything, but like I do not remember a lot of details about it.
We also watched it in the morning when we were like pumped.
It was early.
Have a cookout.
Yeah, it was like finally nice after like 6 weeks of rain.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like we were like bouncing in our seats, ready to like open a beer and start grilling.
Yeah.
Kat, do you want to introduce this game?
Sure. So this game is called "This Wheel Is Getting Worse All the Time."
So good.
So what we're gonna do is, I have a wheel and Tim has a wheel, and one wheel has Star Wars characters and some other cameo impressions.
Ooh.
And then Tim's wheel has famous Star Wars quotes. And what everyone is going to do is they're going to spin both wheels at the same time and deliver the quote as the character they get. They might not necessarily match up. And then we have to guess who the impression is.
I've played this game with you guys before, and it is so hard.
You just want to say the line
like the character.
I'm sure, We should let, because we're the ones that came up with this brutal game, maybe we'll go first.
Sure.
Yeah, kick it off.
Okay. Are we doing it so the person who spins has to do it? We have to guess what it is? I see.
Yeah.
I didn't know if we were going around and everyone had to like try it.
All right. The wheels are spinning.
It is. Are we going to get a mulligan at all? Like if we just get someone we can't do?
No.
No. That's awesome. The fun of it.
Yeah, No mully.
Do we narrow it down to people with actual like impressions? Like I know we have like rain stuff on there. Like that's a hard thing to do.
Chino, you are crumbling before
our
eyes.
Yeah, you can do a Ray impression.
Yeah.
You know what listeners want to listen to is us arguing the minutia of this game.
These tiny things. All right, go on.
All right. No, I am your father.
William Shatner.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Oh, wait, so these are the impressions?
There's a handful that aren't from Star Wars.
Most of them are Star Wars. There are a couple of non-Star Wars impressions.
Okay, that's really fun.
All right.
All right, so we're going to just intersperse those?
Yeah.
I can't wait. This is really fun.
All right. So where are we in the plot now? She gets picked up by the rebels.
Yeah,
they break her out.
She gets rescued by K2SO.
He gets
Who looks great.
Yeah.
CG, but
it's motion
really,
capture too.
Yeah, motion capture.
Yeah.
But he looks fantastic.
He does, cuz I like the
Moshe Kasher?
He's
Moshe. Yeah, Moshe Kasher.
I like the fact that they put Alan Tudyk on stilts for the movie.
Yeah, it's awesome.
He has a great line there too. It's like, congratulations, you're being rescued.
Please do not resist.
Yeah, I love that. So we then go back to Yavin 4, which is cool for the first time since New Hope.
Yeah, see the Masasi Temple and everything.
Yeah, and we get Mon Mothma, played by, is it?
Genevieve.
O'Reilly?
Yes.
Oh, is it O'Reilly?
Right. Yeah.
Played by Bubba O'Reilly.
Bubba Hotu.
Which planet is Yavin 4? What would I know it as?
From the end of New Hope, like the Rebel base.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like the jungle.
Oh, yeah.
You're in the jungle, baby.
Mon Mothma's like, welcome to the jungle. the girl who plays Mon Mothma was cast as Mon Mothma in episode 3. They shot all these scenes and then cut her out of the movie. So, like, giving her a
this
second
chance.
This is
cool that
really
they gave
cool.
her another chance.
Yeah, I was really excited about that.
Yeah, she's just like her.
Yeah, she's yeah. great. And then we get that guy from Game of Thrones playing
Man
General
Mothra.
Dodonna.
Man Mothra.
Yeah.
Yeah, Man
Mothra. Man Mothra.
Mothra. It's like yeah. giant Mothra.
We were talking about that scene the other day, and we were like, oh, yeah, Man Mothma. And my friend who wasn't here watching it with us was like, oh, yeah, that guy. Like, he knew exactly who we were talking about.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Man Mothma.
Man Mothma.
Mon Mothma.
My Mazda.
My Mazda.
And Jimmy Smits.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love...
I like how they have him casually walk into the scene, too.
With the Force theme.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's it nice. Makes so much sense that he would be there. Like, that didn't feel forced at all. Like,
I
you were
so
like, oh, so I'm just
up.
Trying to tie things together.
I love Bail Organa.
Yeah. He's a great character.
I don't know why, but he's great. Like,
well,
I don't know why I love
so
him so much.
He's just so, like, mobile. He's very mobile. Yeah. He goes from planet to planet.
He has two legs.
Yeah.
He is a man
he's
about
walking
town.
Everywhere.
Yeah. He's just like a noble, loyal guy that like you can tell just wants to help the cause and like make things right.
Yeah, like adopts Princess Leia.
Yeah.
He would have been a great chancellor.
Really cool. Yeah he would have.
Yeah, good call.
He in the books is like the Democratic like dream candidate. Like he's awesome in the books. Like when Padme first gets into politics, she like realizes what he's all about and is like, I gotta align myself with him. Like,
yeah, they're really good for like in Clone Wars and stuff, really expands on their relationship. It's cool.
He's awesome.
Yeah, I wish we saw more of that in episode 3.
Yeah, me too.
I think we all do. Yeah.
That's what I wanted. I wanted a slow burn political.
Yeah.
Well, you can see that in West Wing if you want.
I need
he
to
runs
watch
for
it.
President.
Oh, he does?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's,
cool.
It's good.
He was in Dexter also, right?
Yep.
The bad season?
Well, no. He maybe has the worst seasons of the West Wing, but it's still
yeah,
watchable.
Yeah, but his character is still really likable.
We actually, he was season 3 of Dexter when we thought it was bad, but then like seasons 5 through 8 were worse, right?
Yeah.
That's true.
So they brought in Trinity and they were like, oh yeah, it could be good. And then they were like,
he's
never
a bad
mind.
Guy in Sons of Anarchy.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, I don't think
I'd like that
person.
Yeah,
much.
I don't think he can.
But he plays like he plays.
He
like
has a face I trust.
Biker.
Yeah,
I trust Jimmy Smith.
Very soft.
I gotta tell you, I think I talked about this on our episode 2, I think. But the first time you see him, because he was only in the very end of episode 2, like on the balcony with everybody, I was like, I don't know who that guy is, but I feel like he's a bad guy.
Oh yeah, you have. He has a face you do not trust.
I don't know why. I just
you might be just racist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think at this point, once we get the cool like rebel meeting, which I also, this is the point in the movie where I think I found Jin off-putting. Like
you can tell this is where like the rewrites like started to affect her character.
Yeah, and there were a lot of scenes in the trailer that I thought I found her kind of like, you're rebels, aren't you? Like, I rebel. Like, all these scenes that are like, I don't know. There's like some,
that's
there's a lot of angst
movie.
From her that I don't love.
Yeah, but to me, she reads as... they were trying to do like a female Han Solo, because her clothing looks very much like Han's clothing.
She cares. She, I don't know. She, I don't know if I got a Han Solo vibe from her because she's Han is more Han flies casual. You know what I mean? In a way that she doesn't.
I don't know.
Fly casual.
But she's like kind of. Like that scene with Cassian, and she says something like, yeah, I'm sure you do, to him. Like, I don't know, just her vibe gives off, like, that's what they were going for. Like, that's kind of what they instructed her to do. Yeah, like, she's a rogue. And she just is like...
She is one rogue.
Yeah. she's running scams and conning people across the universe. And
is she, do we get the sense that she's a con artist?
Yeah, she has like a fake passport or whatever. She's been in prison.
She like fought the fight with Saw for a while, and then he like abandoned her basically because it was getting too dangerous because people started to figure out who she was.
Yeah. So she's just like stealing shit and disguising herself.
Go cut to the Death Star. at this point, or does she get on the plane?
Yeah, you get
the
plane, her like
the airplane,
the airplane
on the U-wing
the
with
747.
Like, does she get on the U-wing with Cassian first?
Yeah,
and you get the whole thing with how she like took the blaster from someone.
That's one of my favorite scenes. I think
I do too.
I like them getting on there and K2SO being like,
"Why does she get a blaster?"
Yeah, like, do you know the odds of her using that against you? He's like, "Don't." He's like, "It's high."
Very high. That's like, such a good line, and I love.
It's a really good scene.
Also, when he's like, "Where did you get that?" She's like, "I found it." He's like, "I find that answer vague and unconvincing."
I love that. I used to send you that gif all the time. Yeah. Every time Chimo would say something on Conquest or something, I'd be like, I found that answer vague and unconvincing.
I love K2, and I think that having him be the sole comedic relief was so smart.
It works so well.
Yeah, really it good. Brings a perfect balance of humor into this, because like it could get into Guardians territory, especially with that many people, if they tried to make everybody kind of like funny or light. But the movie's tone overall is very serious. So
it's very heavy.
The snarky droid, which I think is kind of tradition through the Star Wars
definitely.
Movies.
Yeah, cause the only person, other like character you kind of get a little humor with is Chirrut a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
But it's not like I'm going to beat you over the head with it. It's a funny little like one-off little thing.
Yeah.
Right. No, K2's very funny. I like him a lot.
Yeah, I mean, you guys know this. I'm a huge Alan Tudyk fan, and I think he plays this character perfectly.
Yeah.
I was a big fan. And, great. I've said this before. I was a big fan until I found out Tudyk was his last name and not like a nickname. I thought it was like a descriptor.
Alan Tudyk.
I was like, yeah, that guy's awesome.
He's got two dicks.
So then we go to the Death Star with our boy Tarkin.
Yeah, which is, you kind of just see the reflection.
Back from the dead through computers.
And then he turns around and you're like, oh shit, they're going for it.
We saw this at the IMAX in Reading, that like 4K crazy IMAX. And I felt like, it looked good, but
the cracks
were showing.
I always go to...
His crack was showing.
His crack was showing. He's going to pull up those pants. I always go to our friend Craig, who likes Star Wars but is not like a big fan or anything like that, and had no idea that he had died.
Yeah, we're talking about in the parking lot for the movie, like, it looks great. And he's like, oh, that guy's dead?
Yeah, he had no idea. So I like that.
We saw it in 2D at first and then in 3D the next day, and I remember liking it better in 3D. I thought it was less noticeable or looked better or something. I'm not sure. Even rewatching it now, I think it looks great when his mouth is not moving, but as soon as he starts talking, for me, it makes the uncanny valley effect notice it's a little.
I think
off.
A lot of it too is that we're looking for it because we know that he's not actually
definitely
there.
When he shows up, I'm like,
yeah,
like staring at him really hard to like look for the cracks.
Exactly.
It's
look
for less his jarring than Anakin with the pear, I would say.
Yeah, that true. Pear. That is one jarring pear.
I think the same thing is
Anakin
true.
Anakin and Padme.
Yeah, I did that too.
Pear me.
The Leia at the end too. Like, she looks great, and then she starts to talk, and I'm like, oh, her mouth's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually have more of an issue with
But overall, I think we talked about this while we were watching it. We were like, I'm glad they put Tarkin in the movie.
Yeah.
It would have felt weird without him.
Yep.
It doesn't
just sucks that
me.
That actor died when the Death Star blew up.
Yeah. That he was actually on set.
I think it's awesome to incorporate CGI characters that are, you know, at one time were like real life characters. It's kind of like a Roger Rabbit type of thing, but it's like more serious. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, it doesn't bother me that I know that they're CGI and they're supposed to be, you know, real people, because 90% of it like looks very real. You can tell that it is CGI, but I don't let that bother me. I think it's awesome.
It doesn't bother me at all. I think it's a really big achievement that they made it work so seamlessly.
Yeah, it wouldn't bother me to see it more often.
They do. Also, that voice. Who's the voice actor?
I forget his name.
He's a guy who did he's done a bunch of stuff on Rebels and stuff too.
Yeah, they blend a little bit of the voices together too, I think.
Is it the same guy who did Obi-Wan on Rebels?
No, that's Raddus. Stephen Stanton.
He didn't do Tarkin also?
I don't think so.
I don't know. I'll have to look it up. But he,
there are two
the
people,
voice of Tarkin is awesome.
There are two people credited as, was it Admiral Raddus?
Yeah.
I don't,
because it's one person does the voice, one person does like in the suit kind of thing.
Okay.
It's like the same thing for Rocket in the Marvel movies. You get Sean Gunn and Bradley Cooper.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Oh, okay.
All right.
Wait, why?
I googled just all CG? Who voiced Tarkin Rogue One, and it says Seth Green, which is not true because it says Robot Chicken Star Wars Episode 3. So Google's broken, everyone, in case you're trying.
The whole thing's done. It's down.
Try binging it.
Yeah, ask bing. Jeeves.
Yeah, right. I wouldn't be caught dead binging.
But you get Tarkin back, and it's pretty awesome. You get his whole relationship with Krennic too. How Krennic is just trying so hard to like please the Emperor, and like with this thing he does, and you get Tarkin coming in and be like, "Yeah, you're fucking up." Like
he's Tarkin trash.
Yeah, there it is.
Ooh. Trash Tarkin, son of a bitch.
So it's cool to see him be like, "This is enough time." Like your pet project is like, "What's happening here?"
I love the shitty Imperial. Like Tarkin is so awesome.
The
like,
backstabbing,
arms folded behind his back, just acting so proper but being such a dick.
Yep.
So. Plagiarizing Nazis. Like
it is. It's perfect. So then we go back to Jeddah.
Yes.
Where Cassian. where Cassian and Jin and K2 are showing up. And we meet...
Cheered and Baze.
Yeah, Cheered and Baze, Guardians of the Wills, which is from the novelization to A New Hope, which was out before New Hope is in theaters. It starts with a quote from the Book of the Wills.
Oh, cool.
So, like, this is, like, one of the oldest
wasn't it originally going to be the subtitle of episode 4? Or, like, everything was supposed to be from
There were, like, a million drafts of the original Star Wars, and they were all, like, from the, it was, like, from the Journal of the Wills, the Star Wars, episode 1, The Adventures of Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, were they supposed to be, like, narrating it almost? Or
something like that.
Being, like, we're sharing the story.
Right.
But yeah,
this is insane with titles.
You get that like fun little more like deeper into the lore that they dig. I know they did like a novel on them and stuff like that.
Yeah, I haven't read that. It was like one of the young adult ones.
It was
ones.
Young adult, yeah. But I think they're two of the coolest characters. I love a good... I love an ensemble movie. And like a cool duo is awesome. And they play off each other so well.
The one dude, I don't know which one's which, but the guy with the stick...
Cheer it.
Is a pretty cool... stand-in for a Jedi in this movie.
Yeah, he is.
They even call it, too. It's like, is he a Jedi? Like, no.
Is he the blind one?
Yeah.
Donnie Yen, the IP man or the IP man.
Yeah, he is awesome in this movie.
Those two characters are my favorite part of the movie.
They're super cool. Actually, that always makes me really emotional. Their end.
Yeah.
There's literally not... Oh, bless you.
Bless you.
Well, I'm sure we'll talk about the death, but
may literally the force of others be with you.
Nice. Every death of the main character in this, get me. Every single one.
I'm glad, and Melinda said this too, I'm glad that they decided to kill them all.
Me too.
They weren't precious with them. That they were like...
It was a super bold choice. Yeah. It was great.
There wasn't like a series of novels explaining why they weren't in the original trilogy. Yeah. It was just like, this is a war and this has to happen.
Mm-hmm. Gareth Edwards had to get permission from Kathleen Kennedy.
To kill them?
Yeah. Originally, Jin and Cassian were going to survive. And then he was like, I feel like it's more realistic if everybody dies. And she was like, yeah, okay.
That's awesome.
Nice. Yeah. Do we do a round 2 of the game?
Sure. Now's an okay time to do that.
Yeah, all right. Who's next?
Cat.
Let's go around in a circle.
Right that way. That means I'm last?
Yeah, but there's so many options on this thing.
Yeah, there's several.
We can go around.
Yeah, they're...
Six times.
Can we do no repeats?
It doesn't automatically.
Ooh, that's awesome.
Can we do that, though?
Yeah, we can do that.
Like, no repeats.
Spin the wheel.
Can we do that?
Done. Consider it done, dude.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
Akbar.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Almost Sean Connery.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Almost
Sean It sounded Connery. Like the robot chicken.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
Admiral Akbar James cereal.
Yeah.
I love that.
Bah, Akbar.
Chicken not stirred.
Chicken not stirred. Chicken not stirred.
Chicken pot stirred.
People are gonna think we're on drugs.
Yeah. All right. What's next?
We're on Jeddah. How do you guys feel about Dr. Evazan and Pondababa, the dudes from the cantina in episode 4 that they like walk by?
I thought that was like a fun.
Like, you better watch yourself.
Yeah, I thought it was a fun little throw-in.
It's fine.
You're like, oh, yeah. Shit, hey, cool.
It's a little bit closer to, like, Jabba's in episode one, and you're like, all right, but...
Yeah.
It's all right.
It is kind of like that. It does feel a little weird. They went into it in the comics, I guess, with... So he's, like, Doctor... Whatever, like I don't.
I love that they have doctorates.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
He's a PhD.
He does like weird, fucked up experimental surgery where he'll like replace someone's head with like droid parts and stuff. Or like,
he should do that to his own nose.
Yeah, he should. I know. Well, I think it's like droid he nose. Kept messing with himself and messed up. Yeah, droid nose.
I feel like they need to make like a comic or something. Like after episode four, when Ponababa gets his arm cut off, he just fixes his arm for him.
Yeah, and just like, here you go, yeah. Buddy. Oh, that's another really good robot chicken.
Yeah. The architect.
Yeah, he's an architect. Yeah. He's like, I'm ambidextrous, and it's like a stick figure. So they make it to Jin and Cassian encounter...
Saw's partisans start to attack the...
Yeah, universe. And they kind of...
They steal the crystals.
Yep, they end up working with Chirrut and Baze and get captured by Saw's partisans and go to Saw's... Like hideout or whatever.
You do get that little joke too. I like how they blindfold all of them.
Yeah. Do you guys like that joke?
I like it.
When they put the bag over Chirrut's head, he's like,
I'm blind.
Are you serious? I'm blind.
I don't mind the joke. I just think the line is delivered so poorly.
Maybe that's what it is. There's something about it that feels
all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think
that scene though of him coming into the battle is awesome when he's like, let them pass in peace.
Oh, yeah. We heard. I think a lot of it, but he's like, let them pass. Just let him pass.
Let him go. Like it's such a But that fight scene is really cool.
Yeah, I do think that line is maybe somebody else should have said it or something.
Yeah,
It feels like it kind of feels like it should go into like the bum ba dum bum 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 like for some reason.
Your enthusiasm.
It's that kind of punctuated joke.
Or I almost feel like maybe "Are you serious?" would have been okay before the "I'm blind." Like,
yeah.
We knew that at that point.
Think of the Anchorman 2. Thing where it's like, I'm blind.
I don't remember.
No, that's a deep cut, I guess.
Yeah, I never watched Anchorman 2.
Who did I see it in theaters with? Not you?
We saw Anchorman together.
Not the second one?
No.
Maybe it was me and Lane. It was like some school vacation. We hated the Chili's and Lowell and saw Anchorman 2.
Sounds nice.
Yeah, it was a fun time, but I don't remember the movie that
Thanks
much.
Thanks for the invite.
Sorry, Dode.
Even if he was just like, come on. Or yeah. Like, are you serious? And just left it at that.
Yeah. That's having no faith in your audience.
Yeah.
He does
yeah.
say, are you kidding me?
If you haven't already noticed, I am blind.
Oh, no, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
But we get to see Saw's hideout.
Seesaw.
We get to Seesaw.
Before that, you also get the Boogalit.
Oh, is that before then, too?
Yeah.
Boogalit!
That's
so good.
So
how uncanny that impression is.
Yeah, so good.
You guys can all do it. Just try it sometime.
No,
is he on the wheel, Kat?
He is. I put him on today.
Oh, I really hope you get him.
I hope anybody else gets him.
I hope somebody else does. That's not me.
Does that hurt your voice to do it?
No.
I'm going to sound like...
just talk back here.
Like the gym teacher from Daria or... no, who is it? In Beavis and Butthead. Is it the gym teacher in Beavis and Butthead? Or the principal?
It's like... yeah.
Yeah, he's like... Yeah, I'm not going to do it. I'm not fun. Fuck that.
And then he's all like... you know, don't look at me. How do you guys feel about Borgullet?
I think it's goofy looking.
It's the worst CG in the movie.
What is that?
Yeah, what
That's
the fuck
the
is a Borgullet?
Creature that they put on Bodhi Rook's to tell if he's lying. It like has tentacles that goes in Bodhi's ear. The
looks
pilot.
Like
oh yeah.
One tends to lose one's mind. That
whole thing.
Yeah, well, I'm just going to Google it real quick.
I think we just need to keep coming up with Saw things so Jared can do the voice.
I'll just do Saw the whole time. Rook.
What's his name again?
Borgullet.
Borgullet.
B-O-R space gullet.
We should probably accelerate a little bit.
Yeah, we've been
so
punch it.
Let me do my best.
Okay.
The Death Star as a test blows up Jedha.
Yes, Jedha City.
One reactor.
So, yeah, single reactor. And so the city starts to blow up. The tower starts to collapse. And as that's happening, Saw shows Jin that video of her dad.
Yeah, so that's what Bodhi brought him.
The VHS of her dad.
Yeah. It's like a hologram explaining the weakness that he built into the Death Star.
Yes. Which is, I just think is so believable.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
That whole speech is really convincing.
It's very sad too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she tears up, and I like I said, I really buy them as a father daughter duo, which is crazy because you don't really ever see them together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, even the casting of Little Jin looks exactly like Felicity Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
That was very good casting.
Continue.
Then she escapes and Saw sticks around and dies. The crew now
go to Edu.
Flies off to Edu.
Edu.
And that's is that where the station is?
An imperial like science facility or something.
It's where Bodhi got the plans from Galen to go deliver to Saw.
It's Galen Erso. He like is the head scientist of a facility that's working on the Death Star weapon.
And Cassian has like an order to kill what's his name? Erso.
Galen
Erso. And he's kind of keeping that to himself. They get to the planet. And he's kind of taking aim at him. Krennic realizes that somebody's sabotaging them, leaking information, and he's going to kill all the scientists, and Galen Erso steps forward and confesses, but he kills everybody anyway. And then Cassian was going to kill Galen, but he doesn't, right? He makes a conscious choice not
he
to.
Does.
Yeah, he decides not to.
Yeah, he stops it.
I want to say something about this particular part in the movie. So when I
proceed,
I remember thinking that the movie was boring when I first saw it, and watching it this time, this scene is why I thought it was boring. This scene itself isn't boring.
It's a little dragged up.
There's some good action here. There's some good plot developments. But to me, this part of the movie feels like the climax. So after there was more, I was like, oh, this movie feels so long. Like I thought
this is a strange structure for a movie.
Yeah, like it feels like the climax. And I was able to pinpoint that this time, like why the rest of the movie felt boring to me.
Yeah.
And it definitely isn't now that I had recognized that. But I was just like, oh, okay, this is the end. And it definitely isn't. And it feels like a weird amount of action and a weird amount of consequences to happen in the middle of the movie.
The movie almost feels more episodic than like a three-act structure.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very much how you said in the beginning, like how it just kind of bounces from planet to planet.
Right, like each planet feels like a different segment of the movie, kinda.
Yeah, it's almost like a mini-series.
It is cool, like nighttime on this dark planet with like
pouring rain.
Seeing classic X-Wings, TIE Fighters. I like all the stuff about Chirrut being like, the Force moves darkly around someone about to kill.
Yeah.
And like can kind of tell that Cassian's about to do something.
Mm-hmm. You kind of see like, more of him.
The Force moves darkly.
Oh, yeah.
Around
those about we were joking about until I hit a Boston accent. Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about. That's my brother's X-Wing.
I don't know if I want to do a Chirrut M-Way impression. I feel like that could come off the wrong way.
Yeah.
You're come not. You're like just doing a Boston accent.
Yeah, I'll do Boston accent. That's
come off like a whole Saw baby.
Chirrut M-Way will be played by Casey Affleck.
You do get the cool shot of him like breathing like breathing into his hand and shooting down the TIE fighter, taking up the cannon.
Oh yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah. Awesome. But yeah, you get the whole Tim, if you don't mind,
I'll
jump in.
Pick up the baton.
But yeah, Galen dies. You get the whole Jin blaming the rebellion, which is rightfully so.
I love that when they get back in the U-Wing and head back towards Yavin 4 and the conversation she
their
and Cassian
fight
have.
Is really great.
Yeah, their fight. It's awesome. Yep. Like he talks about like he didn't have the luxury of not having a political opinion and like he's been part of this war since he was 6 years old.
Yep.
It's really, really cool.
Yeah, because it's a really cool backstory on these characters that you're already like really starting to care about, which is awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, then they go back to Yavin 4 and Jin tries to convince the rebellion to fight and go to Scarif to get the plans for the Death Star to blow it up. And
I love that whole crew of rebels there.
Oh, the whole round
the guy with the crazy mustache who's just like, General Draven. Yeah. And then every time Jin says anything, she's like, we need to stand up and fight. There's always voice in the back. It's like, let her speak.
Yeah.
What is she talking about?
But yeah, you get that.
She's a woman.
But they decide not to do like anything. Basically, they don't want to fight. And then she comes out, and you get Chirrut and Baze will do it. But then you get Cassian with the whole crew of them to go to Scarif and basically do it on their own. It's weird.
Yeah, that's all really cool. I like that when like I forget the whole she talks about how like no one's ever stood by her like that before, and yeah, Cassian's like welcome home.
Yeah,
but there's it's a pretty cool little like speech with them all like rallying their own rebels together.
Mm-hmm. And you get into
rebellions are built on hope.
Yeah, how many times is that said in this movie? You think
at least 3 or 4. But then yeah, you get them
but
going.
Hope is the fire that ignites the spark.
That's exactly what I was saying.
The fire
that
will burn the force. The first order.
That's down. Repeated a shitload. But yeah, then they
Which
become
one
Rogue
that
One.
From?
Last Jedi. It said.
I hate that line.
Literally 100 times.
What about hope is like the sun? If you only believe in it when you can see it, you'll never make it through the night.
I do actually like that kind of.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, that one's better than the other one.
They're that's obsessed with hope, though.
That's a very fortune cookie explanation of hope.
Last Jedi and Rogue One are like, okay, the first movie's called New Hope. How do we use this?
Yeah.
they say hope a lot.
Yeah. But yeah, they become Rogue One. They go to Scarif. They get through the shields.
We're on light speed now.
Hey, it's basically, this is how it goes right through. There's no cuts or anything.
Yeah, all right, so let's do it. Let's go to Scarif.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to take a break before we get into that? Okay.
Let's have Chinmo.
Okay.
Spin
the wheel.
Wheels.
Spin that wheels.
Spin the wheels.
Oh,
it's a perfect pause moment.
Wheels of.
I'm leaving that in.
Did your chin yet?
Chin.
Chin that wheel.
Chin that wheel.
So, all right, go.
Hey, sorry to butt in. I know that this game's called This Wheel's Getting Worse All the Time. Is Lando on the wheel?
Yes.
Yeah. Cool. Yes, yeah.
All right, good to know.
Okay. Okay. It's so weird. All right. Don't look.
Why do I have to guess?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. I just don't trust you.
You can look after.
Oh, can I?
Sure. All right. This party's over.
Emperor Palpatine.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Now let me see the phones.
Palpatine
reading a Mace Windu line?
Oh, yeah.
This one went black.
Party's over. That's right. Oh, that one went black. How convenient.
Oh, I swear to God, it said no.
Yeah.
Palpatine.
Okay. Lord
Vader.
Well, audience.
I'm telling the truth.
It was actually
true.
Lord Vader. I do like a Palpatine impression, but it hurts my throat too much.
Oh, like not an Emperor impression?
Yeah. Yeah, when he first calls him Darth Vader in episode 3, it always gives me the Lord. As far as you call it, Darth Vader. He like goes high with it.
Oh, I pictured it really low. My instinct.
Vader.
I think that's I picture his voice. And it's like squiggles up and down.
It's green to me.
Yeah, it's green. I don't know why.
So his voice is a fart. Then.
Yeah.
I bet his breath does smell bad, though.
Hey, if you want to edit over Palpatine's dialogue with farts, you can email us at sameoldtotepodcast. No, I'm picturing the trailer for episode 3 when it was like Lord Vader, like, and then it's like rise, yeah, like just, really, really deep.
He's just like, and then he's like, no. Yeah, a lot of it was like the fifth fuck in that movie.
Yeah, it was only in the trailer.
Hot fuzz.
Oh yeah,
that really hurts.
T-Dalt at this point.
Yeah.
All right, where were we? We're on the coffee
just got
planet.
To Scarif.
We just got to Hot Fuzz.
Yeah, we're on the coffee cup planet.
Yeah, so we get to Scarif, the beautiful Caribbean
named after
island
a
planet.
Mistake from Starbucks.
Yeah. Where they wrote Scarif instead of Gareth.
Yeah.
I love who
we
the
get
fuck
to the
was
Sandals
working at
Resort.
Starbucks and was like,
Sandals.
I love this planet, and the idea of like a full shield around the entire planet is really cool.
Yeah. It's an all-inclusive shield.
It's expensive. Once you're in there, you don't even have to tip.
All encapsulating.
Adults only.
All the Imperials are naked with Stormtrooper helmets. It's a nudist resort.
You do get the fun little cameo of Sam Witwer and Dave Collins again, though, with the T-16s.
Yeah, they do voices on troopers all the time, right?
Yeah.
Which it's like T-15s in this
T-15s,
one.
T-15s, yeah.
Which is bullshit, because it's T-15s in this one, T-16s in New Hope, and they're only on T-17s in Force Awakens.
The 30-year difference made no
And again,
difference.
Everyone stopped listening. So we get to Scarif,
like,
where there's
about.
A big Imperial like station called the Citadel, right?
Yeah, it's a giant tower with the dish on top.
Yeah, the dish tower.
The dish tower.
It's always cutting out.
Yeah.
That reset it. Actually, that actually happened in this movie. That reset it.
That's true.
Jin has to like unbend a metal coat hanger and like tie it to it.
HBO went out.
Yeah.
Should have got cable.
And we get a lot on this planet. Like it. Where, I don't know. How does it start on this
so
planet?
This
I don't
is,
know where to go with
so they end up landing.
Somebody help!
Jin gives a very big like motivational speech, you know, like make 10 men feel like 100, to where the majority of the rebels are going to go to the different beaches, set up explosives, and like move to other ones. So it looks like there's a lot more of them than there are, while Jin, Cassian, and K2 sneak into the facility and get the plans.
To find the Death Star plans. Okay.
Yep. And then actually you get a really cool, I like it because it's, you see them disguised as Imperials going through, and then
there was a shot in the trailer that I loved.
That was not in the movie.
That was not in the movie.
The TIE fighter.
Her in the Imperial like suit with her helmet and stuff. And she like turns and all the lights turn on behind her. And you hear like the alarms and stuff. It's such a cool, beautiful shot. And like that was one of the things in the trailer where I was like, this movie's going to fucking rule.
Yeah, the end of that first teaser was like, what will you become?
Yeah.
And it's like her like turning in the Imperial outfit.
Yeah.
With the piano version. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, it was cool. And we don't get that shot at all.
No. You also don't get the when she's on top of the tower with the TIE fighter like rising up.
It would have been kind of a cool ending if she was forced to work for the Empire at the end for like to save somebody's life or something like that.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
It would have been way too hard to make that happen story-wise probably, but...
Mm.
I remember before the movie came out, someone theorizing that this movie would go through A New Hope and like everything would be happening through that. And it would end that she ends up like dressed as a TIE pilot, getting into a TIE fighter and being in the Battle of Yavin as like a TIE fighter, which would be kind of interesting.
Yeah, it'd be very cool.
At one point, there were wild fan theories that she was going to be like Captain Phasma or stuff like that. Or like,
that she was just Rey's mom.
Yeah, yeah, which every time a... brunette white woman is in a Star Wars movie, they're like Rey's mom. It's I've heard that about.
She's English. Daisy Ridley's English. She's her mom.
Yeah,
she's
they said that, but Jyn Erso, Kira, still.
Yeah,
dare we say that? And then Carrie Russell in Episode 9, they're like she's gonna be in Rey's mom.
Yeah,
I love Carrie Russell.
Yeah,
she's awesome.
She's gonna be a cool addition.
Yeah,
she's gonna be a great Rey's mom.
I love Carrie Russell too.
Who doesn't? Yeah.
Welcome to WrestleMania, our podcast about Kurt Russell, Carrie Russell, and who's the son that we like now too? Wyatt Russell.
Yeah,
I've been trying to get WrestleMania to take off for like 10 years.
Have you been?
Yes.
Jared
let's do it.
Before I was doing like graphic design and stuff, I thought of like a WrestleMania logo as like the WrestleMania logo.
WrestleMania
that marathon.
That'd be a cool podcast. Yeah. All Kurt Russell movies.
Ooh,
let's do that next year instead of same old hope.
Yeah.
Let's just transition this into WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Now we're going overboard.
Oh,
we can watch Overboard.
See, the thing is.
Whoa.
Oh, my God. We are having a mental breakdown.
Is that one?
Breakdown.
A breakdown. I love that movie.
Breakdown.
Oh, man. We are in big trouble in Little China.
Oh, boy. This thing is going off the rails. Not a movie. I'm being genuine.
Yeah, let's get back to this thing.
Wow. Not a movie. Help.
Should probably soldier on.
Yeah.
Fuck. Universal soldier on. He's not even in that.
And that's another thing too.
But if we was
in that, would have been great. All right. So, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Okay.
Guys, that podcast would rule.
Yeah.
We picked the 12 best Kurt Russell movies and watch them in a year.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Let's do it.
Can we do that? That's
Reserve the domain name before we release this episode and someone else does.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'll look into it.
All right. Good.
I'm so happy these people tuned in for Rogue One.
This is the most bananas episode we've
it
done.
Really is.
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
Thank
I don't know why.
Thank you for sticking with us.
Yeah.
If you have.
All right. So, want me super fast track this?
Hit it.
Punch
chin.
It.
All right. So they
punch
end up getting in, and this is after they get the plans. They start blowing it up. You get the rebellion coming in for backup. You get the big space battle with the ground battle. And here is where you start to lose the main five, I guess you could say. K2 is the first one to die, who I think is his death is like it gets me the most.
Pretty sad.
Yeah, because after Jin gives him the blaster and everything, it's great. then...
Oh, I love that moment. Can we talk about that moment?
Yeah.
So Jin gives him the blaster, and what does he say to her? He says, like,
you are continually unexpected.
Like, yeah, or like your behavior is continuously unexpected. Yeah. Like, yeah. There's something like really nice, weird.
It's very touching.
It's a cool moment.
Yeah, it's very touching.
I like it a lot.
It's actually, it honestly might be my favorite moment in the movie.
It's a good one.
But they end up getting the plans.
But simultaneously, they're all dying. Like, Bodhi, the Imperial pilot, kind of does something, like, helps the communication.
Yeah, that is the most dirty dozen movie moment in the movie.
It is.
He, like, just accomplishes what he needs to, and then he blows up, and he's like...
Yeah, he, like, he sees a bomb and kind of, like, smiles, knowing he did something good.
Yeah, he did what he was supposed to do.
And he's just like, yeah! Remember when he yells that?
Yeah, I do. Straight into the land of the beyond.
I also do like how they do like a few little like Easter eggs for like Star Wars like things, sort of like Black Saber and stuff. The tracking, hyperspace tracking for Episode 8.
Oh yeah.
But then
all the different Imperial projects. Yeah. I love the idea that there was like a ton of secret Imperial projects we know nothing about.
Yeah, just a whole library full and of plans.
Yeah,
the thing that ties all together, the code name for the Death Star is Stardust, which I thought was
cool. Which is Jin's nickname from her dad.
It was very nice.
Which is cool on a few different levels that he would call her that, and then it makes Stardust.
Right.
Yeah. Earlier when Chirrut.
Yep.
It's talking about Kyber crystals, and he was like, the strongest stars have hearts of Kyber.
I love that
one. Star is powered by Kyber crystals.
Yeah.
Kyber crystals.
The Death Star is powered by Kyber
crystals. Gerber crystals.
Character is that Chirrut?
Chirrut.
Yeah.
That should have been your name.
It should have been. I'm dumb. I'm a big idiot, all right?
Big idiot.
But yeah, then you get the death of Chirrut and Baze, which is awesome.
Yeah,
the one
really
with
cool.
The Force is with me.
Yeah.
The Boston accent.
What?
I'm on with the Force, kid.
The Force.
The Force.
The fucking Force, dude.
How did you do that? What? The Force?
Everybody. I don't know.
This is the fucking Force. What do you mean?
Watch this.
Not even using my hands. But yeah, you get him walking through the whole battle, hits the master switch, and then he gets blown up. And Baze, I like how Baze kind of
gets super angry and kills like a handful of Death Troopers.
And he uses his mantra too and everything. Starts the Force. I'm one with the Force. Force with
finds his faith.
Yeah.
He says it differently though, doesn't he?
No.
I think it's still I'm one with the Force. Force is with me.
He just says it a little bit like slower because he starts.
I think he says it opposite. Like, the Force is with me, I'm one with the Force or something.
Oh, maybe.
Like that.
He does like say that? It differently, yeah.
Oh, okay. But yeah, they both die in battle. Like, that is a cool way to go.
His gun is so fucking cool.
It's awesome. Yeah, he's got like almost like the backpack.
All that armor he's wearing too is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get the showdown between Krennic and Jin.
Do you think that one of the Imperial projects will be something we see in Episode 9?
That'd be cool.
Well, I mean, we see it in Episode 8.
Oh, and do you think Starkiller Base is one of those?
Ooh, that'd be so cool.
Ooh, yeah.
Like, they're all, like, Imperial code names for different projects. One could be...
What lazy Imperial scientist was like, oh, shit, I gotta write an idea. A third Death Star?
Yeah, there we go. Well, that one does suck the power out of suns.
Yeah.
That's
and
true.
Was built by, like, hollowing out a planet. It's a little different, but still, watching that in a movie was...
The idea of it is the same, too much. Yeah.
Well, I just like the idea of like someone's responsible for coming up with these plans, and that's as much of a cop out in real life as it is.
He said, like, "You guys remember the first two Death Stars? Bigger, that but bigger though.
Classic.
Yeah, like, got bigger. It. Cool.
But yeah, you get the
should
whole
we
showdown.
Like fix the problem where you blow one thing up and the entire thing blows up?
Yeah. I don't know. We have more important things to worry about.
We already have the plans."
Instead of that thermal exhaust port, we'll put an oscillator.
We are really dragging here, guys.
Want to do the spins?
Yeah. Deej.
Yeah, Deej is
spin
up.
Away.
Come spin away. Come spin away. Come
spin away with Deej.
That's
I listen to that podcast. Yeah.
Where you just spin off.
Just DJ spinning wheels.
Okay. I'm trying to think.
It's tough because you want to do it.
And if it's bad,
voice.
That's just as fun for everyone.
Yeah.
That's not how the Force works.
Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
That was really great. Yeah.
Cool.
It's awesome.
So I had Luke Skywalker, and the quote was, "That's not how the Force works."
Oh, that was the quote.
Man, I got off easy. Easy.
Easy.
All right. So all right, now, go. You go.
Okay.
You know what?
I have nothing. No, they're back on. Go hit it, Deej.
So when I spun the wheel.
So they're back on Scarif, and they're
trying.
Enough
about your trip to Iceland.
They find the plans for the Death Star, which is called Stardust, and they try to beam them up to the Rebel ships, which they have to do from the giant satellite.
They
got to
take the shield down and everything.
Which becomes this whole, that's what all those other Rebels, or the rest of our crew, dies trying to accomplish. You have to plug in this wire over here and hit the master switch to get it to beam up.
And they do. They all accomplish their mission.
They do it,
and
they
die. You get a cool hammerhead from the Old Republic.
Yeah, and we see the ghost from Rebels, which is really cool. Yeah.
You also get Chopper cameo. We missed that, but he's back on Yavin 4.
Yeah, which is pretty, as one of the losers in the theater who watched every episode of Rebels and reads all the books to see
I was very happy.
Saw Gerrera show up and characters from Rebels.
How did you guys feel about the 3PO R2 cameo?
I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
On Yavin. Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Scarif?
Yeah.
Nobody tells us anything.
Yeah.
It made sense for them to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They got to be in all of them.
They're not.
But not Solo.
Yeah, Anthony Daniels is the only actor that's been in every single Star Wars movie. Yep.
Yes.
Has he been in? Was he in Solo?
Yeah, he's a pilot in Solo.
He wasn't 3PO.
He's with the Wookiees. But yeah, then you. I do like how Krennic is killed by his weapon.
That's a good moment. That's cool.
Yeah.
I love that it just nicks the top of the tower, too.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Hits at an angle, kind
of. That way, it gives us that really cool shot of Jin and Cassian on the beach with, you see the explosion just kind of slowly coming.
Oh, and I love that they don't kiss.
Yeah, that's great.
Me too.
I want more movies where the
hug and embrace.
Male and female leads don't kiss.
I agree.
What?
DJs. Nothing.
I was just going to say that I wish they 69
votes. That nuclear tidal wave is coming.
Yeah, the idea was so ridiculous. And it still is that I can't handle it.
Which one of them is going to suggest that in that moment?
Definitely Cassian.
I don't picture anyone suggesting it. I just picture
I wish they had K2SO'd.
I'm a fucking idiot. Who cares? Move on.
Who cares? It.
And then that gets to maybe the coolest scene in the whole movie.
Yeah. We didn't even bring up earlier that we see Vader.
Yeah, that's true.
On Mustafar. Can we talk about that scene for a minute? Can we go back in this episode that's already all over the place?
I say we've been everywhere. It's all
right. They go back. We get a scene where Orson Krennic goes to Mustafar to speak with Vader about the progress of the Death Star. Too. Yeah, which we've never seen Vader's castle, which is based off old Ralph McQuarrie concept art.
It looks so fucking cool.
It rules. I'm obsessed with it. I think it's really interesting. And it's on Mustafar, the planet where at the end of episode 3, where Vader loses his arms and legs.
Gets toasted.
Or arm and legs. Yeah, when he gets barbecued.
Yeah.
What are you giggling at?
DJ's still laughing about 69.
Oh, no, I'm not.
So we get a really cool scene with Vader. James Earl Jones returns to voice Vader.
Gets a dad joke in there and everything.
What the careful not to choke on your aspirations.
Yeah. I didn't need that.
Yeah, it's a little silly.
Hey, if there was ever a dad joke to be made in Star Wars, why not Vader, right?
That's true. Yeah, it's true. Yep.
Everyone's thinking about it.
He is our favorite dad.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel about James Earl Jones? I feel like he's audibly older in this.
You can definitely tell the difference. I am happy that they brought him back for it.
They did make the Vader costume look like New Hope, where it's kind of cheaper looking and has the red lenses.
It's
pretty cool.
It's not exactly centered helmet, kind of. It's very off.
Watching New Hope and the Blu-ray age, the Vader costume looks kind of cheap.
Yeah.
But then by Empire, it's sleek and shiny.
Yeah.
I think even if I'm remembering right, I think George Lucas says he doesn't like how Vader looks in A New Hope.
Oh, really?
Or that he didn't think he was going to be a big deal character because he thought he was kind of expendable or what's the word? Disposable.
Yeah.
He was just an attack dog.
Yeah.
Which is very true in this movie. You actually see him attack.
Right, yeah. So back to the end of the movie, after all of our protagonists die on Scarif. The plans make it to a rebel ship, but Vader goes onto the ship with a boarding party.
The coolest fucking scene.
Yeah, and we just see him kill people. I mean, Demolish. If you're listening to this, you've probably seen the movie. We don't have to describe what happens to you, but it rules.
But then he
yeah.
cuts a guy in half and it keeps going. No.
Yeah.
It's cool. So cool because Vader is such a badass, and I think the closest you ever get to seeing him, like, really in action are the fights with Luke in Empire and Return of the Jedi, but you never...
You don't see him really cut
loose. Especially
after
seeing the prequels and seeing
right,
what lightsaber
sense.
Fights
That's
can
Anakin.
Really be. Yeah, so to see him actually be, like, terrifying and...
I love how genuinely, like, terrified all the rebel soldiers are.
Yeah.
They're like, we're dead. There's nothing we can do.
Well, and because awesome. He's younger, too, so he's, like, moving fast. He's stronger.
He's spry.
Not necessarily stronger, but, like...
He's spry.
Anakin Spywalker.
Yeah. He's just, like, at the top of his game.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
He's in PT yet.
So Melinda has, like... She kind of didn't appreciate the original movies or Star Wars in general until we... saw like Force Awakens in the new era. So for her, like, this is the first time she thought Vader was like really cool. Like, I feel like watching the old one, she never got it. And seeing that, she's like,
that
Vader is awesome in
yeah.
that scene.
I'm
it
glad.
Makes me want to watch see yeah. so much more of Vader in action.
Oh. Yeah, me
that's
too.
That's how he is in
Vader hunting Jedi.
His
I want it.
Comics.
Yeah,
it's amazing in the
yeah.
comics. Like in Rebels and stuff, they play him perfectly.
Yeah. Scary.
You get the last kind of big reveal of the movie is that the ship they're on is actually the Tan of Four.
Right from the beginning of New Hope.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
This movie leads directly into New Hope when we get young Leia
mm-hmm.
being handed the plans, which is really
yeah.
cool.
Yep. And that's movie.
Yeah, and that's it.
They throw in Hope again.
Yeah. What is it?
Hope.
Yeah.
Roll credits.
Yep. The end. Bye.
Wait, so is it now time for Jared to do his?
Yep.
Yeah.
Do my wheels?
If you don't get Saw Gerrera, I'm going to be a little upset.
That'll be a little disappointing if I do.
It.
Right?
I
oh, that's
I
true.
I want a new impression.
If I get Saw Gerrera, I'm spinning again.
I feel like at the end of this, we all just keep going until we hit the entire wheel.
Well, I'm nervous.
We could so save stupid. Some of these for another episode, too.
I got a really like dumb, disappointing one, but I'll
let's
do
see
it.
What we get. Let's see if we can guess it.
Use the force, Luke.
Yoda.
I can't yeah. do Yoda. That was a bad Yoda.
Mm.
Yoda's not fun, guys.
Yeah. Do another one.
I was dreading getting Yoda.
It's because it's like the most recognizable, I think.
Yeah.
I rolled again, too, because that wasn't a Star Wars character. I didn't want to do that one.
Who was
what was it?
Or see if you can do it.
I got Gollum.
Oh, yeah, that sucks.
I think I could do Gollum.
It's well, we put in some Kat. That we knew people could
yeah,
do.
Yeah, Kat can do it.
And Kat can do a good
I
Gollum.
I can do slight Gollum.
I feel like you guys are going to have to guess for this one.
Okay.
So who talks first? You talk first, I talk first.
Huh?
Lando?
Samuel L. Jackson?
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. Thanks, cool. Deej.
Yeah.
You get me.
I do.
That was good.
Thanks.
Who talks first?
Yeah. Who the fuck talks first?
That was a really good Chris Tucker.
Yeah, I didn't want to go there with it.
That was
but
good.
But I did.
That was a really good Chris Tucker.
That is awesome.
All right.
All right.
General grievances?
Yeah. Do you have a quick round?
Yeah.
What do you guys got?
I got one. My biggest general grievance is, we kind of already talked about this a little bit, but like how the movie did and with all the background issues, like you can tell it went through rewrites. And I personally think Jin's character suffered the most from it.
Why?
Yeah.
I just think because... Like in the trailer, you see her as like this big rebel kind of like character. I mean, I still love the character.
I think
she's great.
Still is that.
I think she's great, but I think it's almost kind of unbalanced. Like where you have her, she was fighting with Saw. She kind of grew up in this almost, and then she goes away from it, and then she comes back and she just wants nothing to do with it. But I don't think it's like super conveyed until. Like later on, I guess.
I think it would have been nice to see her more than just like in a prison, an
yeah.
imperial prison.
Yeah,
like
I think it's just
more
a little
context why I think
her character overall.
Yeah.
But it's not even like that big of a grievance for me. That's just the only thing I can really kind of think of. I'm really pressed there.
I already mentioned that one line that really bothers me. I think the Vader dad joke is is pretty bad.
Yeah.
For me, it's the pacing a little bit. It feels a little long to me still.
There's a bit of a slump in the middle.
I would say that is kind of true, but in some ways the pacing feels a little bit more like the originals.
I also love a slow Star Wars movie.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like, give me time. This one,
the fact
just
that
look at shit.
Yeah, that it is so slow.
Well, I have a note that I didn't say something I love. It's not a grievance, but we get alien subtitles in this movie, which we've been talking about for a while.
Yeah.
We're like, give us cool alien characters.
Yeah.
We never get that
languages. I mean, we do like Jabba the Hutt and stuff, but after watching the prequels, there's so many aliens talking like with just racist accents or something.
Yeah,
and we're like, just give us fake languages and subtitles. It works so well, and we get a ton of that in this movie.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
I guess mine is that there isn't a single 69 in the movie.
I was going to say, not enough 69.
Yeah. Where's all the 69ing?
Rogue 69.
But if I'm giving it an actual grievance, it's that line about, are you serious? I'm blind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it just sounds weird.
It's a little too on the nose.
Yeah.
It's on his whole face.
it's not.
Come on. What's yours, Kat?
I already said the pacing.
Oh, that's right. Did you have one, Jared?
Jared, yeah.
I don't know. So when I first saw this movie, I was like, cool, but not my cup of tea. Like, or not my preferred Star Wars. Like, I prefer the more mystical Jedi stuff, I think. But the more I've watched this movie, I've accepted it for what it is, I think. Like, I used to always say that this movie is your favorite Star Wars movie if you own a camo Xbox One controller. Like, if you like play Call of, like, it just felt like troopers and like war stuff, and I don't know, if you love guns and stuff, you're like, yeah, Rogue One. I've learned to just kind of love it.
Surprisingly little like dog fighting in it, which I'm on board with.
Oh, like
the stuff at the end, it is the only, oh no, we had that space battle at the beginning of Last Jedi, I guess, but it was cool seeing like X-Wings in space again. Force Awakens, they're all like in atmosphere.
That's
true. I don't know, that was pretty cool, I thought.
Oh, we didn't even talk about how they used unused New Hope footage for that.
Oh, yeah. Gold Leader.
Yeah, and Red Leader.
Red Leader.
Yeah, it's really cool. Seamless, too.
Yeah.
It is very
absolutely.
Good. I do like how you're saying. I do love, I ranked this movie pretty high on my list. I think I put it at number 4.
Yeah, I don't remember now, but I do think it's pretty close to the original trilogy.
Yeah, I think it feels, out of all the new movies, I think it feels the most like the original trilogy.
Have you guys seen the VHS box art for this movie?
Oh, it's fantastic.
There are people online who like they make it to match these. But I have like the old the black like VHS box out of the Star Wars movies where there's like a character's face on each one. It's like Yoda on Jedi and like a Stormtrooper on Empire and Vader on New Hope. And people have like designed VHS box art for like Rogue One, Force Awakens, Last Jedi. It's really cool. And I wish Disney was cool enough to release them.
Yeah, it would be sweet. I do like how you were saying this is like a slow burn kind of movie. It is very much, especially where you have all these characters that you get to know, and I think they develop pretty well. I think that's why I like this movie so much. That with the actual just visual aesthetic of the entire film with
it, I think it is the best looking movie.
That and really you do own a camouflage Xbox controller.
No, I own two. No, I really don't. I want that stated.
It's it's a very, very good looking Star Wars movie. I feel like Last Jedi is really good too, and even Solo is pretty good looking.
Yeah, Solo is good looking.
But there's something about this movie.
So fucking hot.
Not to sell Force Awakens, sure.
I just love it. This is a movie. It is slow, but it's a one I can continue like rewatch and be like, I still enjoy this.
I love it. The day that we watched it, we also watched some Rebels.
Yeah.
Which we don't have to get into.
Twilight of the Apprentice.
Yeah, we watched the season 2 finale called Twilight of the Apprentice. We kind of didn't know where to fit it in as far as we figured like in the Star Wars timeline it was close to Rogue One, so we watched it.
I feel like we just got to do a full-on Rebels episode come January.
Yeah, we could talk about it someday. If you've never watched any Star Wars Rebels, if you can find the season 2 finale, Twilight of the Apprentice, it's worth a watch. It's one of my favorite Star Wars stories. Next month, we're into the original trilogy, guys.
I know.
Oh,
so
yeah,
excited.
That's nuts.
Which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's that is crazy that we're now officially into the originals.
People are going to start
that's
listening.
Exciting. Yeah, I know. The next 3 months, like, that
episode,
feels good knowing that we have
I'm so excited.
4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. Like,
we're going to start having some guest people on occasionally, too, right?
Yeah, we are.
we've got one guest lined up who watched the original movies in real time.
That's for episode 5
episode
in August.
Episode 5, yep. Yeah.
And then we have someone for episode 7 in October lined up, a friend of ours who requested that, which would be cool.
Yep. Oh, that's right, yeah.
And yeah, we'll try to get some more people on.
I'll still be here, so.
DJ will still be here.
You're not going to be in Iceland?
No, not this year.
Oh, okay.
But not next year either.
Great.
You get married, so.
We'll be here for episodes in 6 to 9.
Yeah.
Yes. Six to 9. That's actually accurate.
Oh, that's great.
Are we watching, when we watch episode 4, are we going with like current Blu-ray?
I feel like
edition?
We almost have to.
What?
That is what's technically canon now. Original. So yeah, this is theatrical. I have it on VHS, but I think I have them on DVD somewhere too.
Cool.
My friend might have them currently.
I actually would watch them on VHS. Yeah. That would be cool.
We could hang right here and watch them.
I mean, I would be 100% down, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Should we just make sure the audience is looped in on what our plans are for this?
Yeah. What do you guys think? Like, comment, subscribe.
Yeah, who's still here?
It's boy.
Smash that like button.
We watch both for it, although we can't even schedule like one movie, but
yeah.
This is probably an off-mic conversation.
It absolutely is.
So, on that note, do you guys want to plug anything before we...
Let's be honest, there's no one,
well,
there's no one
gotta,
listening.
Oh, no, you started. Never mind.
There's no one listening. Yeah, I do. I have something to plug.
What are you plugging?
I'm going to plug Conquest, the podcast that Kat and I host over on the Waste of Minds Network. This month, our Game of Thrones episode just went up, and we're going to have some fun stuff coming up later this year.
Yeah.
So check us out there on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all the social medias. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm back on Top 5 for the summer, Top 5 of Death. My friend Corey listens to the show now, so Corey, get back to work. and that's it. Yeah.
Cool.
Hey, Corey.
Hey, buddy. You listen to the show?
Yeah.
Hey, cool. Hey, Corey, what's up?
I just found out about it like yesterday.
Corey, come over and hang out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've been talking about trying to do that anyways.
But like, get back to work, because I got to do that job, so fucking...
You'd be a great guest, pal. Good.
Pull your weight, Corey.
I miss
you.
Yeah,
dude.
Just pull your weight, Corey. Anyone else?
I will just plug the wasted-minds.com website and the fact that if you browse that site long enough, you'll find Drinking Buddies, the Drinking Men's Thinking Game.
It's fun.
You can buy that. It's cheap. It's fun. It's a card game. I need the money.
Cool. I love that game. Kat?
We also have two other podcasts that you might stumble upon on wasted-minds.com. They are Rhythm and Brews, which is Tim's podcast, where he talks about beer and music. And then we have Double Date, which is Tim and myself talking to other couples about dating and date movies. Those are both going seasonal, so no...
We're targeting having new episodes up for both of them in the fall.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the most recent episode you guys had?
For Double Date?
Yeah.
500 Days of Summer.
Okay. So okay.
Great movie.
That's cool. And I am usually running the Same Old Hope Twitter, which I don't even remember. And I think we're Same Old Hope Podcast.
We are. I got it on.
Yeah,
I got
at
on
Same Old Hope Podcast. Yeah. So tweet at us and we'll talk about some dumb Star Wars shit. And I also have a Star Wars punk band called Starfighter, which you can find at starfighter1138.bandcamp.com. And we will be back in July with Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope. And I cannot wait to get into the original trilogy. It's going to be fun.
It's what we've all been waiting for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So thank you for listening. We'll see you guys next month. And may the Force be with you.